Hallelujah. Well, I got to tell you, the view's a little different from up here than it is from sitting down there. Praise God. As we say in this ministry, be ready in season and out, because you never know when you're going to get called, right? You know, so I want to talk a little bit about what got me here. You know, man, I could never imagine, you know, 2.5 years ago that I would be up here delivering a message on a Sunday, I can tell you that. You know, and it's only through the power and the salvation of the Lord that, you know, you can learn these lessons and the blessings that he tries to teach you, accept the counsel, correction, and direction that you've been provided. Because, man, I was a sinner living in the world. I knew about Jesus, you know, but yeah, that was that Jesus guy. You know, he certainly wasn't in my heart. And since I've come to this ministry, I have learned, you know, a path to salvation. A path to living a different life, that chasing money in the world is certainly not the way to live, man, that there is too many of us out there that were doing that for such a long time. But through the lessons that we learned here, through the teachings of the pastor and the many other people that have been before us, Angela, Katie, Jason, Shane, and the many others that have come before us to sow our way, it's a reminder to me that that's what we're here for. We are here to set the path for those that are coming after us. Right, we're here to teach what we've learned to the next person so that they can teach the next person and they can teach the next person. And that's how revival begins, right? That's how we spread the word of truth, is by sharing what we've learned. So we're going to talk a little bit before we get into the message tonight about what the definition of first is. All right, the definition of first describes something that comes before all other things in time, order, or importance. The definition of first describes something that comes before all other things in time, order, and importance. It marks the earliest stage in a series of events. It's the top rank and quality, or an event happening for the very first time. So we've all had many firsts in our lives, right? Everybody here, the first time we opened our eyes, the first time we were able to see, the first time we crawled, the first time we walked, the first time we were able to talk. For a lot of us, that wasn't necessarily a good thing. The first day of school, the first love we ever had in our life, followed quickly by the first heartbreak. All right? The first job, the first car, the first house that we ever had. Those are all natural firsts, right? But we've all had some spiritual firsts too, especially since we've come here and we've come to know the Lord. The first time we really said a prayer, you know, not just a prayer calling out when you needed help, oh God, help me, because, you know what I mean, I'm sick or I need you or something like this. But the first time you really gave your heart and you said a prayer that meant something, the first time you really offered a sincere praise to the Lord like we just did, when you crossed over, when you got in the Lord's presence, the first time you got baptized and you meant it. I mean, I've been baptized a couple times in my life, but I didn't really mean it until I get baptized here in this ministry. The first time we truly repented of our sins. The first time we called Jesus Lord and Master of our life. The first time we really opened this book and studied it, not just used it as a coffee table ornament, right, which many of us did for many of our lives. I had a book in just about every house I've ever owned, and I can't tell you that I ever opened it, you know. But we learn here how to study and how to interpret it, how to get discernment. And for me personally, the first time standing up here and leading a church service, right, those are all spiritual firsts. And I don't know about you, but I would rather have a bunch of spiritual firsts than those natural firsts, right? Our spiritual first is what crosses us over. It's what leads us into God's presence. It's what keeps us in position. Doesn't mean that we're not going to stumble and falter from time to time, right? But it means that we learn how to repent and get back into position. So again, you know, my message is to continue to try to get those spiritual firsts, those spiritual first things, not those things of the world, not those natural firsts. So today we're going to talk about overcoming adversity. So the message, the title of today's message is Faith Through Adversity. Faith Through Adversity. And we're going to start at Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. Again, that's Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. And the word reads, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in an abundance of peace. So, when everything around us seems to be in chaos, which is generally the state of this world, right? You go outside of this, you know, cul-de-sac and this stop sign, and everything's in chaos. You know, it doesn't matter where you go. The Lord is what, you know, brings peace and removes that anxiousness from our lives. That's when we really got to put our faith in the Lord, you know, is when everything's not going according to plan. Because everything's easy when things are going like you planned it, you know. But it's when things start getting off of your plan and not God's plan that chaos starts to come. And it's the test of your faith, you know, are you truly, you know, abounding in his presence that keeps you on that path, on his path, and not your own. This earthy realm and these temporary flesh shoots that we inherit, you know, can be tough, man. You know, we get, you know, infirmities in our body, especially as we progress in age. Man, I get pains and angst, and, you know, I'm in my early 50s. You know, some of us are much, you know, earlier, are older than I am, and, you know, I'm starting to experience those things. These little temporary flesh shoots break down, you know, and it can take us out of position, you know, when we're not feeling well, when we got a tummy ache, when our knees hurt, we can't see, we can't do this or that and the other. Anxiety, stress, and a wandering mind is what leaves the door open to the enemy. And that's what attacks us. So I got a visual when I was reading the scripture of our faith has to be like a fortress, like a castle. And anybody that's seen a fortress or a castle from old medieval times, it had a moat around it. Right? It had a guard gate. It had guard towers. It has everything else. That's what our faith has got to be like, you know. And where we get those guard towers and those moats and those other things is through our daily routines. It's by saying our morning warfare prayers. It's by praying and worship. It's by studying God's word. You know, that's how we build our fortress around us, so that when the wind of the enemy starts to blow in our way and he starts to speak in our ear and starts tweaking that sweet honey, you know, that we don't listen to it, that we don't bite that bait. Because it's going to come. It doesn't ever stop coming. The minute you think that the enemy stops trying to bring you anxiety and stress is the minute that you let your guard down. Right? Praise God. Let's go to Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what will you eat or what will you drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can one add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient in the day of its own trouble." So we all know, is there not anything that God can't do? God can do anything, right? Absolutely. He can do anything that he wants to do if we can get out of our own way, all right? then why do we spend so much time worrying about what happens next? I don't care. You know, there's everybody in this room that's got some kind of worry or care that they have put before the Lord at some point, probably on a daily basis. I know I do. You know, you just can't help it. You know, it's just something that's ingrained in us. And that's that anxiety and that stress, man. And it takes practice. It takes patience. It takes endurance. It takes continually repentance, you know, and getting into God's presence to be able to overcome that stuff. God knows every single one of our needs, even the ones that we don't know ourselves. And when we truly seek Him first before all things, He's going to provide more than we can possibly ever need. You know, I can know that personally in my life, since I gave up the things of this world and just let go, you know, God has restored many things, things that I didn't even ask for, things that I didn't even know I needed, right? And I know He will continue to restore more things in the future in His time. As long as I'm not anxious about anything, as long as I don't put my needs before His needs, you know, as long as I'm seeking Him first in all things, I know that He will accomplish mighty things through just not just me, through this ministry and through every single person that's in here. Because I know we're all learning from the same book, right? We're all taught from the same doctrine. It's not like, you know, we're all getting individual little lessons here. We all come from the same, you know, background, and we're all taught the same things, and we're taught the truth of God's word, you know, not some version that is being bestowed by somebody's interpretation. Let's go to Hebrews 13, verses 7 through 17. Hebrews 13, 7 through 17. And the word reads, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to outside the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Do not forget to do good and share, for what sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable to you." So Jesus does never change, right? We change. We can either change for the good or the bad, you know. And for most of our lives, we were not changing in a godly way. We were walking in the way of the world. And we can do that because we're spoiled little brats, especially when we don't get what we want. You know, we all have wants and desires. You know, we want a better house, a better car, a better this, a better whatever. And God will provide those things in His time and His season as long as you stay in position. But man, you know, sometimes we can, when we don't get what we want now, we're a now kind of people, you know, then we get out of position and we miss the blessing, right? Because we take ourselves out of position. Our weapon of warfare is our praise and worship. That's what God wants. He wants us to give that sacrifice of praise, even when we don't feel like it, right? There's times we wake up in the morning, man, that, you know, we've either had a bad night, a bad sleep, the voice of the strangers got in our head, something, and we hear our feet hit that floor in the morning, we're like, man, I just want to go back to bed. Everybody in this room has had that feeling a time or two. You know, that's when you really got to press in, because that's when the enemy is trying to bust through your defenses. That's when he's trying to invade your fortress. You know, so that's when we really got to press in and doubly hard and say those prayers. And we got to embrace, man, and this is something that took me a minute to come to understanding on. Right, as we grow in the spirit and as we get more, you know, wisdom and knowledge, we start to have more discernment, right? And we start to know how to use that discernment, how to share it with others. And one of the things that I struggle with is being able to accept counsel, correction, and direction from those that God appointed in my life. It's hard. you know, sometimes to be told things that you don't necessarily want to hear because you can't see it. You know, generally, if you're bearing bad fruit, you're not seeing your fruit, right? But somebody else can. And if you can allow yourself to get to a place where you start to accept and embrace that counsel, correction, and direction that's provided from those that have been appointed in your life, you will certainly be much better off. Because when we get that, it's not because the person's trying to hurt us. They're trying to help us, right? They love us. They don't want to see us because they've seen so many times before where a person has fallen off because they weren't, you know, staying in position or because they couldn't accept that counsel, correction, and direction that was being provided. And every now and then, hey, we need a kick in the butt. We need a slap in the back of the head. We need a little nudge in the right direction. And if you can embrace that and accept it from what it is instead of getting all, I don't need to, I'm going to do it my way, you know, which we do sometimes, you know, man, I've known some mumblers and grumblers since I've come through here. Yeah. And unfortunately, those people are either back in the world or no longer around here because they just could never get to a place of acceptance. They couldn't get to that place where they can accept that. And it's tough to see. So if you find yourself mumbling and grumbling, get in your prayer closet real quick. All right. Go get some repentance. Get rid of that pride. Get rid of that anxiousness. God doesn't want no mumblers, grumblers, and complainers. Praise God. Let's go to Joshua 1, verses 5 through 9. Joshua 1, 5 through 9. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn it from the right or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night that you may observe to the according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So, you know, a little background here for those that don't know the story. So Moses just died, right? And, you know, Moses wasn't allowed to depart over into the promised land because he was disobedient, right? So even Moses, one of the greatest leaders in the Bible, fell short of God's glory and was punished for it. So there was certainly some stress and anxiety going on in Israel this time. Anytime that there's a leadership change, what happens? You know, there tends to be factions and things that go on. We see it in countries around the world. So the only thing that doesn't change is God and his love for us. Everything else is subject to change. We have a saying in this ministry. Everything is subject to change at any time, you know. And sometimes things change by minute by minute. And you can either embrace that and, you know, and go with it, or you can try to get in your own mind thinking that you need to do something another way. God's laws and his commands are right before us, right? They're right here. What's that? The basic instruction before leaving earth, right? We've got a roadmap right here. We just got to open it up. And like I said at the beginning, I had one that collected dust on my coffee table for, you know, 40 years that I never got open. You know, I didn't really know God's word until I came here. You know, I knew probably Psalms 23, you know, Jesus loves me, you know, a couple of verses, maybe John 3:16, that was it, you know, and there are so many out there that are the same way, that have this basic instruction manual sitting on their coffee table and they're not opening it and they're not applying it. So we've got to make sure that we do it each and every day to continue to add to our weapons of warfare, to add to that tool chest, to add to our armor. Let's go to Mark 5, verses 35 through 42. While he was speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler in the synagogue, and he saw tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Now, it still amazes me when I read, you know, sections of the Bible where Jesus has performed a miracle and raised people from the dead and healed people, that people were still amazed. I mean, they had seen him do it time after time. Right? He had done it many, many times. And this took place right after the woman who had been bleeding for years touched the hem of Jesus' robe and was healed by her faith. Right? She had tried everything else. She'd tried all the remedies in the world. She'd been to all the medicine people and all the stuff of their day and couldn't be healed. But her faith, just by touching Jesus' robe, healed her. So clearly there was some anxiety in this household. I don't know anybody here that has ever had to deal with the death of a family member. We probably all have at some point, an aunt, uncle, relative, a parent. But imagine the death of one of your children and, you know, the anxiety and stress that would put you under. And again, that's really when you need faith in the Lord, that he's got a plan that you don't understand. Because there's sometimes that things happen that God does to us in our lives that we don't understand. And the only thing that we have to cling to is our faith, is our beliefs, is that he has got us and that he's got a plan. And we learn to trust in God and set aside our doubts, our fears, and anxieties. There's nothing that we can't accomplish. There truly isn't. God is the strength in our lives if we allow him to work through us. Let's go to Isaiah 26, verses 3 through 9. Isaiah 26, 3 through 9. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. O most upright, you weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited in your time, the desires of your soul, for your name and for your remembrance of you. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. When you seek your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So when we can get past ourselves and trust in the Lord, he keeps us in perfect peace. And we have no anxiety. We have no stress. We have no worries. But it's getting to that place and staying in that place that's the difficult part. To remain just and upright, we've got to cast our cares on the Lord because we know that he has us. He's got us in all things. And the desires of our soul should maintain a servant's heart at all times. And that's difficult. It's not easy to be compassionate and humble and giving in all things. You know, setting aside our own selfish desires. And we've got to always maintain that attitude of gratitude and never forget where we were before Jesus came into our life. You know, I try to remind myself on a daily basis, man, 2.5 years ago, you were contemplating suicide. You know, people that can remember myself when I first got here, I had a beard down to my belly and I had hair down the middle of my back. Man, I looked like a caveman from the Geico commercial. It was something to behold. And I had just gotten to a place where I just, you know, was ready to give up, you know, and right at the end, that's when Jesus found me and rescued me. But, you know, it's my mission now to try to not let people get to that place. Don't get to that place where you're sitting on the cliff. You know, try to rescue them before they get to the edge, you know, before they start looking over, because sometimes it's too late. I mean, Shane and I were riding in the truck the other day, just to give you an example. And man, if there was ever a picture of a brother in torment, it's this dude that's on the street corner up by Lowe's all the time. And the dude was just angry, and you could just see the demons eating at him. And apparently it's been going on for quite some time, and it's tough to see. You know, people got to want a salvation. We're not going to be able to rescue everybody, but we can certainly do our best to spread the truth to everybody that we encounter. To every prayer book that we hand out, to every prayer that we say, you know, we can do our part. Now, we have free will, right? We have the free will to either accept God's love or to close the door to him. So let's try to keep spreading his word. Let's move on to Daniel 4, verses 34 through 37. And at the time of the end, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" And at the time of my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I have restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor of the King of Heaven, all who are the works of truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. So Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty king of old, you know, during this time in the Bible. And God struck him at one point. He was out there eating grass, you know, like a goat. You know, no wonder this dude, you know, came back and just said, "Hey, man, I was wrong." Praise God. You know, take this curse from me. You know, and unfortunately, that's how many of us came to be here, is that we were falling down flat on our face. We were living an ungodly life, and we were that close to eating grass, right? And God woke us up, and that's what he did here. God's dominion is everywhere and everlasting. Eternity is a long time. You know, we think if we're 60, 70, 80 years old that we've lived a long life. Well, that is just a smidget of what's to come. You know, eternity is forever. And I think we sometimes have a hard time understanding and contemplating what that means. But, man, do you want to live an eternity in glory, or do you want to live an eternity in torment? Because those are the two choices. There's one or the other. There's no in between. You know, we don't believe in purgatory. We don't believe that you get a second chance. You know, who you serve when you die determines where you go. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And God can restore anything, any broken relationship. Nothing is beyond God's repair. Not one thing. I don't care what you've done. You know, again, I think we all have been at a point in our lives where we thought we were beyond God's salvation. Oh, man, God can't forgive me. You know, I've done some horrible stuff, you know. God loves us in all things. You know, any of us that have children, I don't think there's anything that any of our kids can do that we couldn't forgive. We might be upset with them. We might be disappointed. We might hold a grudge for a little while, you know. But I don't think that there's anything that any of our children can do to us that would cause us to just, you know, break off all love for them. They're still going to be, that's how God's love is for us. He's disappointed in us when we fall short, you know. He turns away when we sin because he can't look upon it. But he loves us no matter what, and he's always there with us if we open that door back up to him and don't leave it closed. And we've got to always be on the watch out for that pride, man, and getting puffed up, because it's always right around the corner. Just when we think that we got this thing figured out, you know, this you know, Christian thing figured out, that's when we get smacked on the head. You know, donkey conked, I like to call it. Ding! You know, so we've got to always be watching out for that. And not let that creep in, because that's how the enemy starts to work. Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, by which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven are in the earth, in him. In him we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Man, God blesses us with so much, right? So much we don't even know, man. We have everything that we can possibly ever need as long as we trust in him. And we all know that we've got a calling, a destiny, and a purpose as long as we don't let the enemy steal our identity. Because he's always trying to do that. He never stops, man. He is the devil and his minions are never going to stop trying to win you back to his side. It don't, until the day you're called home, it doesn't ever end. That battle is raging, and it will continue to rage until Christ returns and until we're called back to his glory. So we know the truth of our salvation, and it's up to us to maintain it. Because I say this all the time to the guys in the Disciple House. You know, it's one thing to find salvation. It is a totally different thing to maintain it, because you can easily slip right back. You know, we're all one bad decision away from slipping back into bad habits, into slipping back into things of the world. And that's when we start taking shortcuts. It's when we start justifying, you know, I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. You know, I don't need to see that prayer. You know, I don't need to read the Bible. You know, I've done enough of that. Man, that's when the voice of the enemy is talking to you. You know, that's when you've left that door open. You know, and it only takes a crack. You know, it only takes a little bit of an opening for the enemy to try to work in you. And it's our job to make sure that we are sharing the path of salvation to others. Now that we've known the truth, it's our job to help others come to the truth by sharing what we've learned. Praise God. And we're going to close at Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. And who knows it? I, Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So God's telling us right here that we've got to constantly stay in the spirit, not in the flesh. When we're in the spirit, we're going to bear good fruit. We're going to be able to withstand the droughts that come, because it's not always going to be raining in our lives. There's going to be some periods of ups and downs. And when we learn to dwell in the spirit, we can withstand the droughts. We don't need that water that so many other people need. You know, we can seek the spirit, and that's what fills us. That's our being. So don't be moved when the drought comes. Well, we've got to still bear good fruit, even if we're not getting watered, right? We must maintain our dominion over our mind, over those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions, our heart, so that we can all be perfect vessels for the will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We ask you to sanctify your message that you've delivered. We just thank you so much for each and every person that is here in this room today, everybody that's come before us to pave the way for us, Lord, to be here to now allow us to do our parts to pave the way for those that will come in the future. Lord, we lift up our shepherds, our spiritual leaders, Pastor Guy and Mama Kate, as they're traveling in Tennessee, Lord, that you give them some rest and relaxation that they're desperately needed, that you return them to us, Lord, so they continue to lead us in all things. We just ask for manifested favor over each and every person as we go our separate ways until we return together. We love you, Lord. We give you praise, glory, and honor for everything that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.